Welcome to My Father's House Podcast, Episode 357, His Perfect Partner. Pastor Sarah Velasquez delivered this message on Sunday, February 11th, 2024, in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Praise God. Good morning. How are we today?
Morning.
Good? God is good. All right, we've been doing a little series, right? His Perfect Partnership. And so today is the second part of that. Last week we talked about the balance of grace and faith. I had a wonderful helper up here. Remember Liam helping me show that it is by grace that we have been saved through our faith, not as a result of works so that no one can boast. It's a free gift of God, right? So that's what Ephesians 2 says. That was our key verse last week that we used, Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. It's all, grace is all what Jesus did on the cross. He died for us. That's his work. It's done. It's the finished work on the cross. And us as believers, as born-again believers, we can simply rest in his finished work through our faith, right? And our faith is the vehicle that we receive from God. It's what he allows us to have in our spirit, so to have this exchange, like we had Liam up here helping and showing the blank checks. It's our faith that releases what God has already purchased for us, already dreamt for us, and what he paid the price for us to have on the cross of Calvary. And that would be any promise that's in the Word of God. Of course, your salvation, your healing, your deliverance, salvation of your family members, anything that you see as a promise, anything that you can find in here that God says his promises are yes and amen, your faith can appropriate that promise and bring it into your life simply by believing it. So it's your faith, it's the mix, the balance together of your faith, making it yours, grace of what Jesus did. And it's so important for us to understand this balance between the two, because sometimes we're sitting back and we're waiting on God and he's waiting on us. and maybe things aren't happening in our lives like we're praying and believing. Well, the word says it. The word says it here. But God, you'll just heal me when you want to heal me. You'll just drop it, my provision out of the sky. You're just going to pay my debts. But in your heart, you don't really believe it. And you're saying other things like, I'm just always broke. Oh, but he's going to drop it out of the sky. Well, your words are shooting down your faith, right? They're working against each other. So we need to align ourselves in faith. We need to align with God. We need to partner with God with our faith and the believing in his grace. Amen. So that was kind of a review of last week, and today's message is titled His Perfect Partner. Do you have any idea who his perfect partner is? I see somebody pointing to themselves, or maybe not. No, she wasn't. Okay. It's us. Each of us, you, me, we are each his perfect partner. That doesn't mean you are perfect and always, you know, never mess up. That means he chooses you. He believes in you. For him, you are his perfect partner. You are the one that he wants to partner with. You are the one that he wants to work through and flow through. Not only for blessings, to bring blessings through your faith in your own life. Like last week, we focused a lot on, you know, us receiving for ourselves. Today, the focus is a little bit more on us being an instrument, being used by God in the lives of other people. Yes. That he wants to partner with us to not only so we can be blessed, but that so our life can be a tool, an instrument in his hand to bless others. And let me tell you, he doesn't forget about you in that process. It's not like you're just a robot and just to bless everybody else. When you are going about the Father's business and obeying him of how to be an instrument and be a blessing in other people's lives, guess what? You get abundantly blessed. Has anyone experienced that?
Yes,
it is awesome. It's like you pray for somebody else and God pours it out to somebody else. And guess what? When I'm praying for you, God filling me up, like, it is thrilling. It is like awesome. It's better than, I don't know, it's better than chocolate. It's so good. It's so good. It's the power of his Holy Spirit. And knowing that I'm moving myself out of the way to be an instrument for what he wants to bring and do in somebody else's life. And that is such a blessing in our lives. And so I just want to encourage you today that you, yes, you are his perfect partner. He's called you. He loves you. He's equipped you. And so let's talk today some of the thing about a few of these things about being an instrument in his hands. So Mark 16, let's go to this verse. Mark 16, 15 through 18. We know this, right? This is one of two places where the Great Commission is spoken and talked about here. And so Jesus is giving these instructions to his disciples. He says, this is Mark 16, 15 through 18. I'm reading from and up here will appear right about now, the New Living Translation. Thank you to the team in the back. They're awesome. Praise the Lord. It says, and he told them, go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone. Anyone who believes and is baptized will be saved, but anyone who refuses to believe will be condemned. These miraculous signs will accompany those who believe. They will cast out demons in my name. They will speak in new languages. They will be able to handle snakes with safety. And if they drink anything poisonous, it won't hurt them. They will be able to place their hands on the sick and they will be healed. Woo-hoo! Wow. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'm just remembering about a funny story that happened to me in my therapy job of doing home visiting and how I stood on this verse because I got a client. I had a client last year that texted me saying, not sure if you want to come to the house today. My teenage daughter's bull python snake got out of the cage and we can't find it in the house. And I'm like, oh gosh, being a home visitor is never a dull moment. You walk into those doors and you're not sure what you're going to get, but at least she gave me a warning, right? And so I'm driving around that morning before I go to this client's house and I'm like, should I cancel? Should I go? Well, I don't get paid if I don't see the client, if I don't have direct hours. And I thought, you know what? No, I'm not going to allow some snake, some serpent to steal my money, you know, my income. No way, Jose. And I thought, you know, even if the snake appears, I mean, it's missing, okay, but if it appears, well, this is giving me protection. I have power over all the power of the enemy, right? And so I just, when I read that about snakes, it just reminded me of that. So praise the Lord. Okay, his divine protection he shared with us. But, you know, the first part of this, he's commanding us to go. Well, first he's asked and invited you to be his partner, to be his worker, his hands and feet, yes, to collaborate with him. He's invited you to that, and then he says, okay, so you're my partner, let's go. We're going to go and we're going to do something. He says, go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone. People need it. People need that good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation, the word says. Praise the Lord. And then it says here that these signs shall follow those who believe. What signs?
These signs.
Yes, these signs. But which ones? The signs of casting out demons, right? Telling a demon to go. It doesn't need to be a big, scary show. It shouldn't be a show. Jesus is Lord. He reigns over all, and we have the authority to just say, go. You need to go when you encounter it. We're not, and we shouldn't be looking for a demon under every bush, and we shouldn't be also like a snake handling church. You know, I've seen some crazy videos and heard about some places where they, you know, kind of like test this word and do weird things with snakes, and like, it's like, yeah, no, we don't need to do that. But if or when I encounter a snake, if or when I encounter a demon, I know that I can take care of it because of Jesus who lives inside of me. Amen. Amen. And so it also says, I will speak in new languages. That's our heavenly language. That's when you get baptized in the Holy Spirit, you will speak in new tongues. And that is amazing, because guess who's not involved in that? That's you speaking mysteries to God and him putting messages in your spirit. And the enemy, the defeated one, Satan, cannot understand what you are communing and what God is communicating with you. And I love that. Like, he's left out of that equation. So that is powerful. And so then it says, of course, you will be able to handle snakes with safety. If you drink anything poisonous, it won't hurt you. We have his divine protection. We have been given that. And also, we'll be able to place our hands on the sick and they will be healed. Wow. That's awesome. That's something to get excited about. And we're getting equipped in that with a healing class, right? So exciting. So these signs, these are for ones who believe. That means faith, right? There we go again with the balance of grace and faith. Our faith. Do we really believe that we could do that? That we could tell a demon to go and it would go? That we could place hands on the sick and that they will recover? We need to believe it. The word says it. And he's calling you his perfect partner. So let's stand up to that. Let's stand up in the identity that he has given us. And trust that we have this power over evil in the name of Jesus. Because it's his grace on the cross mixed with our faith, believing, right? And putting that into action. Boom. Amazing things, miracles, signs, wonders happen, and God uses us. His power will back us up, and we need to trust and rely on that. The power of Jesus, the same power of God that rose Jesus from the dead, lives on the inside of you if you've been born again. Yes, hallelujah. You can get excited. One person is excited back there. Praise God. You can get excited with her, right? You have that dunamis power on the inside of you. So we don't need to be afraid, right? Amen. Divine protection. Psalm 91 protection is around us. So, you know, in the other verse, I didn't give them this verse in the back, so don't worry about it. But the other verse that gives the Great Commission, Matthew 28, the first part of that, Matthew 28, verse 18, he says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Jesus is saying that. All the authority. Who do you think he got that authority from? God, the Father, right? He gave the Father gave all his authority in heaven and on earth has been given to Jesus. And then it continues, therefore go and make disciples. So then let's look at a different verse. Let's look at Luke 10, because Jesus is so generous. He's been given all authority in heaven and on earth from the Father. And now guess what? He's sharing it with us. Luke 10, that's amazing. That is amazing. Luke 10, verse 19. Look, that means pay attention. Look, he's saying this to the disciples. Look, I have given you authority over all the power of the enemy. Think of every way that the power of the enemy could manifest in your life and somebody else's life. Just think about those things. Okay, you got some pictures in your head. It's like the list of cursings in the Deuteronomy 28, right? All those terrible things, sickness, disease, just poverty, all the curses, all the bad things. Those come from the enemy, the defeated one. He's saying, I have given you authority over all of that power, all of the bad, over the evil. He's sharing that authority that the Father gave him. He's sharing that with us. So he's saying to his disciples, look, I have given you authority over all the power of the enemy, and you can walk among snakes and scorpions and crush them. Amen. Say, what? Wow. Wow. Okay, we don't need to go find some snakes and pick them up and do crazy things with them. But when we're going and we're in the mission field down the street and there's a snake or something, or you're on the reservation, God sends you to the Navajo reservation like I was sent there. There's some snakes out there, you know? There's some snakes. And we would know across campus when there was a snake because you'd see all the men, the cowboy, Navajo cowboy men with their hats, shoo, flash, like running out to a field or somewhere like where the kids would play or whatever. And like, okay, there's something out there. There's a snake. They're handling it. They're taking care of it. So we have that power over all the power of the enemy. We can walk among snakes and scorpions and crush them. Nothing will injure you. We need revelation of this verse, really, because we really need to get this inside of us. Because, wow, what comes up so quickly? Fear. F-E-A-R. Fear comes on us so quickly when something is out of the ordinary, when you see a snake, you know, whatever, right? But it's just amazing to me, this authority. What is authority really? It is that permission that we've been given. I have authority. If I am a sheriff deputy, look at this official badge that a friend of mine is not here today, but I happen to have a friend that's a police officer. Praise the Lord. He got really excited when I was asking if I could borrow a badge because he has badges. He's like, well, do you want the flip wallet kind? Do you want the one to pin on? He's got like a collection. So he's proud of the authority that he carries. But, you know, he could share this with, I put my license in there. So, you know, it's like, this is just a representation. So Tim, the police officer, if he's wearing his badge or he's in uniform and he goes out here to stop traffic, you know, people are gonna stop. People are going to listen to him, right? I hope. If I go out there just holding this, like dressed like this, I mean, I might not get the same results. I don't know. But the point is, if I've been given this pin, this badge, you know, represents the authority. Let's just let this symbolize the authority that I've been given as a believer of Jesus Christ to trample on serpents and scorpions, to say no to the power of the enemy when I do accompany it. When there's a pain that comes on my body, and I've been doing this, I'm getting good at it, you guys. You know, pain or something comes on my body or weird feeling or whatever, I just, right away, I don't even let it go on very long. It's like a little twinge and I'm like, you go! I was joking yesterday. You know that I'm like, people know me as like Sweet Sarah until, like, you know, in my body, you know, somebody might hear me saying, go, stop, all right. Like, whoa, what's going on with her? But, you know, no headache is going to come and stay on my body. No bad feeling is going to come and stay on my body because I'm using the authority that Jesus Christ gave me, right? And so I have that authority, you know, if somebody that I love is being messed with and let's say my husband has a pain or something, I have authority to say that has to go too, right? And lay hands on the sick and that they will recover. I'm just reviewing some of the things that we read in that scripture. So let's first receive revelation of these words about authority. Luke 10:19 is a really great one to meditate on. Receive that revelation really in our heart and stand on that we have been given authority. I was going to say try it, but don't try it. Like, you know, I'm not a big Star Wars fan, but Yoda says, do, like there's no trying, just doing. Isn't there some quote that he says? Is there any Star Wars fans out there? Okay, there's no trying. What is it? Only do. So do. You don't just try on Jesus. You don't just try on his authority. You do it. You get revelation in your heart. You allow faith to rise, and then you do it. You exercise that authority. You tell the enemy no. Over your finances, you tell him no. Amen? Wow, that was quiet. Is anyone believing for finances, for debts to be paid? Wow, praise the Lord. In Jesus' name, right, and we've been given his name. That's a whole nother preaching. That's a whole nother message, the power in his name. That's the authority that backs us up. It's his name. It's through him. He had all of the authority that was given to him from the Father, and he's giving that to us. Amen? Amen. It's through his name that he has that power and that authority. All right, let's look at one example in the book of Acts. I love this, but are you enjoying reading the book of Acts with your cell group? Isn't it been so awesome? So the book of Acts has many great examples of the Spirit of God partnering with people, with ordinary people. Not just the apostles, not just the disciples, but just ordinary people that believe God, that receive the power of the Holy Spirit, and you see them doing signs and wonders and miracles and amazing things and stepping out because they're using the authority that they've been given, they're operating in faith, and they are, you better believe, they're understanding their not only their authority, their identity of who they are in Jesus. So it's an exciting book to read. So let's look at Acts 9, of where Saul has his amazing transformation, his amazing conversion, if you will, and then later becomes Paul, right? So this is an awesome example of God partnering with a person. That person is named Ananias, to bring blessing into the life of somebody else. That would be Saul in this case. So, all right, let me just summarize a little bit for sake of time. So in Acts 9, Saul is continuing his vicious, terrible, really strong threats and persecution of the church. Yes, amen. Somebody's with me, right. And he's on his way to Damascus, and he has gotten authorization. He got some authority. He went to authority higher than him, the high priest, and he got that authorization to persecute, probably imprison, and maybe even kill, I don't know, the people that were the followers of Jesus, the ones that were following the way, it says, right? And on his way, the Lord intervenes in his life. Because, why? The Lord loves Saul, and he has a plan and a purpose for his life. So nothing's going to stop God from getting that plan and purpose, carrying that out in Saul's life. So he's struck down, he sees a light shine around him, and then he becomes blind for 3 days. And there were guys with him, and they had to help him, right? Because now he's blind and he can't see. And so they lead him on the rest of the journey into Damascus. And so at that point in the story, we're going to pick this up. So we're in Acts 9. Let's start at verse 10. Acts 9, verse 10. We'll read through 16. Now there was a believer in Damascus named Ananias. The Lord spoke to him in a vision, calling, Ananias! Yes, Lord, he replied. The Lord said, go over to Straight Street to the house of Judas. When you get there, ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul. He is praying to me right now. I have shown him a vision of a man named Ananias coming in and laying hands on him so he can see again. "But Lord," exclaimed Ananias, "I've heard many people talk about the terrible things this man has done to the believers in Jerusalem. And he is authorized by the leading priests to arrest everyone who calls upon your name." But the Lord said, "Go, for Saul is my chosen instrument to take my message to the Gentiles and to kings, as well as to the people of Israel. And I will show him how much he must suffer for my name's sake." All right, this is an incredible account. Let's break this down a little bit. When I studied this and when I was meditating on this, something that really hit me here that I was able to rescue from this is that no matter who you are and which side you're on, whether you're on the evil side or you're on the good side, God knows your name and he knows how to get your attention. Right? Because he had, and he set up, he's the God of the divine encounters. And he set up both sides of the coin here. The evil, right? Saul, he set him up and he appeared to him after he, you know, had to really strike him down, get his attention. He's blind, right? And then he said, "Go into Damascus and you'll get further instructions there." So, you know, Saul's on like high alert, like what is going on? And it says, the word says that he didn't eat for 3 days. And so on the other side of that is Ananias. God knew his name. And, you know, Ananias called responded right away when God called him. He called out to him and he said, "Yes, Lord, like, here I am, I'm your servant," right? So no matter, and this goes for, you know, unsaved family members or friends that you are praying for, even if they aren't saved yet, they don't have, you know, the light of salvation yet in their lives, God knows them. He knows their name and he knows how to get their attention, just like he did with Saul. Saul was one of the worst persecutors of the church, and yet God got his attention. Nothing is impossible for him. He knows how to do it. So fear not, those of you that, and don't despair, those of you that are praying for loved ones to come in, because God knows how to get their attention, and he will. He will. So that they have an encounter with the living God, just like Saul did here. All right, so both Saul and Ananias have heard the Lord's call, and now he's going to do something. He's setting this up, right? He's the God of divine intervention. He's prepared both of them. So God has a plan and a purpose for people's lives. And he chooses up to bring us into bringing blessing into their lives. He chose to use Ananias. And, you know, even when we don't want to be used, or we think we're unqualified to be used, or we're trying to hide, hey, you can run, but you can't hide from God, right? This story will tell you that. Or when fear rises up, or you just think, oh, I'm just so unworthy, or I've really messed up, or I haven't read my Bible today, or any of this stuff. God doesn't care about that stuff. He's called you, and he wants to work through you. It's him. It's his finished work. It's his grace. It's his finished work on the cross. If you allow him, he will make you an instrument. You are his perfect partner. So can you imagine this struggle that Ananias had? Put yourself in his place. Let's say, imagine a figure today of somebody that really speaks out about the church and God calls you and says, you're going to go to that person and you're going to pray for them. You're going to minister to them. And they're trying to kill you. They're trying to arrest you. They're trying to shut you down. And you're like, wait, what? God, do you know what you're telling me? Ananias was like, do you know who you're sending? Of course he knows. Of course he knows, right? God has a plan that's bigger than what we can see. And wow, our job is to trust. That can be tough. If you put yourself in Ananias' shoes, you can imagine the challenge there. He has a choice. Fear is real, but he has a choice. Okay, so we stopped at 16. Let's pick up. We're in Acts 9. Let's pick up with verse 17. What is Ananias going to do here? Is he going to rise to the challenge and obey, or is he going to do something different? Let's find out. Run away. So Acts 9, 17. So Ananias went and he found Saul. Yay, he made the right choice. He chose life. He chose obeying Jesus, God. He laid his hands on him. Ananias laid his hands on Saul and said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road, has sent me so that you might regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." Instantly, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes, and he regained his sight. Then he got up and was baptized. Afterward, he ate some food and regained his strength. So that was 19. Praise the Lord. Did you know, when I was studying this, I found out that Ananias means the Lord's gracious gift. We're talking about, last week we talked about the balance of grace and faith, right? Ananias means the Lord's gracious gift. Ananias was sent and he ministered to Saul, that then became Paul. And Paul was later, we know him as the grace preacher of the New Testament. Isn't that interesting? The instrument that God chose to be a blessing and launch Saul into ministry, into salvation power. The instrument that he used, Ananias, his name means God's gracious gift. But then it's like, he laid hands on him and maybe he got an impartation of that grace from Ananias, right? Because Paul became known as the grace preacher who wrote most of the New Testament and speaks a lot about grace. That's one of the themes there of the letters to the churches. Grace, grace. The word grace, the study commentary that I was reading said that the word grace appears in the New Testament 125 times, and that probably varies depending on what version, what translation you're talking about, but that Paul used it 120 times out of 125. Wow. So he majored on grace. He got some impartation, I believe, that's just my personal thought, about from Ananias of grace. That's really cool. Okay, so let's further look at this. Between Ananias getting the directions, getting the mandate, and kind of saying, "God, do you know who this is?" and finding Saul, something clicked for him, right? Because then it just, where we picked up at verse 17, it says, Ananias went and found Saul. In NIV, it says he entered the house where Saul was. So he got over his struggle or his fight with God saying, "Do you know who this is?" And maybe it was right up till he knocked on the door and entered and it was like, okay. And then guess what? He calls him Brother Saul. To me, that means he internalized the mission that he was on because God said, "He's my chosen instrument. I just want you to obey and go." So Ananias got it. Okay, he's going to be your instrument. That means he's going to be my brother. So I'm going to just call him brother. Like, he got it. Wow. He laid hands on him and he explained why he was there. Ananias obeyed. He obeyed and did what God told him to do. And God did his part. The scales fell off. The blindness came off of Saul. Right? He got healing, he got deliverance, he got salvation, then he got baptized. God's will was accomplished because Ananias said, "Yes, I will do it. Yes, I will do it." And he walked through that door and found him and did what he was supposed to do. We have a choice, don't we? God is such a gentleman. The Holy Spirit is a gentleman. He never barges in and forces us. He didn't make us as robots. We have a free will. We've been given a choice. Whenever we hear God's voice, we can obey it and choose life, or we can disobey and choose death, because that's sin when we're not obeying what God tells us. And if we allow this four-letter word that's so powerful, if we allow fear in, guess what? We stop God's plan. What if Ananias had said, no, I'm not going. No, I can't do it. I don't trust. Basically, when we disobey, we say no to God. We're saying, I don't trust you. I don't trust you, God. That's the truth, right? And then we stop God's plan to use us. God will raise somebody else up to do it that's courageous and bold enough to do it. But he wants to use us. What a privilege it is to be used by him. We must put our fears aside. I'm preaching to myself. We must put our fears aside and trust God because he's got a good plan. Yes. Otherwise, we miss out on the incredible blessing. Do you imagine? I mean, we don't really hear, I don't think we hear anything else about Ananias later on. But can you imagine? I don't know how much of, when did he die? Well, that was a different Ananias, wasn't it? That was a different man. Because that was before. Because that was back in chapter, you know, whatever. No, praise the Lord. So, what was I saying? Praise the Lord. That was the last time he was heard of. But can you imagine, I mean, him watching, if he got to see how much of Saul turned Paul's life, he got to witness and see what occurred. Maybe, you know, he didn't probably get to read all the letters that those came out later, right? And all of how God used him. Maybe he did. I don't know. I don't know the timeline exactly. But, you know, when you pour into somebody and you're used by God in their lives and then you see them take off, it is exciting. It's like your spiritual child, like a child, like a parent cheering their one-year-old on that's taking steps and walking. And you're like, go, go, go. Yes, yes. Like, it's so exciting. You want them to do greater works than what you did. They're being launched, right? And so I can just imagine this excitement of Ananias watching Saul turn Paul and how God is using him. And he got to see maybe, you know, some testimonies or see that what God told him, that this is my chosen instrument. Maybe he got to see how God was using him as an instrument. Right? But if we disobey, then we cut all of that off. We miss out. And then God's plan through that person, at least, like I said, God would raise somebody else up to have gone and ministered to him. Let's face our fear and say, God, I trust you. When you know that God is telling you something, let's step out on it. You know, there's been so many times in my life that fear has tried to stop what, you know, God's plan was for my life. Being called as a missionary when I was only, you know, a three-year-old baby believer, going to live as a missionary in Argentina. I mean, fear tried to stop me. And I remember the first few days that I arrived there crying. I arrived crying and confused of like, why am I here? And this is terrible. And and a wise woman who discipled me, she was from the United States, so she understood. She said to me, you better go and get yourself in agreement with God. Because for whatever reason, you got on that plane and you're here. And you're going to be miserable if you're like having this internal struggle about being here. So go get an agreement with God and then come back to me. She was tough, but I did that and it helped. It's like, okay, the struggle is over. I obeyed. I'm here. Because I was already physically there, but it was like I was still living the struggle of like, do I get on the plane? Do I not? She's like, but you're here. You made it. So you better just agree with God. And then when he called me to street outreach, I mean, I could tell you so many stories, but he called me to, there was a vacancy in the roles in the YWAM base, the counseling ministry base. And they said, we need somebody to lead the street outreach team, the evangelism team. And I didn't want to do that. I didn't feel qualified to do that at all. I'm a white girl. I don't speak Spanish very well. Like, people would tell that I'm foreigners. I could get taken advantage of, or, you know, whatever. But I, shaking, went to my leader because I heard God say that you're going to do that. You need to do that. And so I went and I said, I think God's telling me to do this. And she was like, well, are you agreeing with him, or what are you telling me? And I'm like, yeah, I'm doing it. Yeah, I'm doing it. I'm in. And, you know, I could tell you many stories of ministering to people, the prostitutes, the homeless children, just the street people in a hub, a big hub of transportation there in the center of Buenos Aires. And just me saying, okay, God, use me. And wow, he did with our team, and cool things happened. Praise God. And God got his blessing, his gospel message out to many people because we were willing and we showed up and we said yes. And you know, this current challenge in my life that we've shared with you guys, that you know, Santos, Pastor Santos and I have received a new calling to adopt a child. When I, in the beginning of that process, you know, I really dealt with some fear. I dealt with fear big time because we don't know how to be parents. And like, God's so gracious, you know, normally, like, you get to ease into it. You get a baby and it's like a different kind of care. And then you go stage by stage by stage. And like, adopting a child is like, okay, the stork just drops off a, you know, 16-year-old at your door. And you're like, okay, now be a parent. And it's like, oh, wait, what? You know, so I read this with Ananias, and I camped out there for a long time. And God just, you know, reminded me of the process that I lived with him of like wrestling like Ananias did, of like, are you sure, God? Do you know what you're doing? And I realized that, you know, if I said no to that, I would be stopping not only the blessing that God wants to get to Santos and I to be parents and do this, but also for this child, like the child that he chooses for us. What does God want to do in that kid's life? You know, that child could be the next, whoever, Billy Graham, Sean Foyt, you know, somebody that God really, an instrument. And we could say no and stop all that. Wow. So my yes or my no, it's those are both tiny little words, but that's really powerful. You know, I could stop that blessing in our lives by what I choose. Fear and disobedience, or yes, God, I trust you, because he had a good plan. And God says, this child that I'm going to give you is going to be my instrument. Right? I'm going to use this child. And first and foremost, he wants this child to know Jesus, to know the love, the restoring love of Jesus. And wow, he's going to use us to do that? Like, humble little me. Like, I mean, I was very humbled by that and still am when I really get into the presence of God and he speaks to me about this. And, you know, I'm praying about our family and our future family. It's so humbling. It's like, wow, you're going to do this amazing restorative work through us? Like, who are we? And he's like, well, you're going to be my instrument. And I'm going to do something amazing, not only in your lives and for you and to give you a family, but in this child's life, because he's got a plan for them. Yes. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Yes. God is just, you know, he's asking us to show up. He's asking us to show up and be present. Praise the Lord. In conclusion, I'll land the plane, like Pastor Hartley says. He lives in us, guys. Wow, don't we need a revelation of that? He lives in us, and we've been given his authority. Imagine that you each have a badge. You know, it's the stamp. It's the seal of the Holy Spirit that's your badge. That's what the word says. You've been sealed. Is that Ephesians 1? That you've been sealed in the Holy Spirit. That's your badge of who you are, your identity, and the authority that he's given you to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, that it's not going to hurt you. You can be his perfect partner. Doesn't mean you'll always be perfect. It just means that you say yes and you show up when he calls you to something, because he wants to use your life. He wants to flow blessing through you to other people, and he will do it if you say yes. Hallelujah. I'm getting excited now. Praise God. It's up to us to partner with that finished work of Jesus on the cross. And it's through our faith that we do that. And it's easy when we do that. When we say yes, the rest is on Jesus. Like, we don't know exactly how this is all going to play out, what we've been called to. But Jesus does. He knows, the Holy Spirit knows, and he's going to walk us step by step by step. So if you're facing something that you feel a little unqualified for, or a little bit like this is too big, well, you're in a good spot then, because it should be big. It's God's big. It's his plan. It's his dream, right? And as long as you don't have to have it all figured out, I'm really preaching to myself now. For those ones that, you know, we like control, we're planners, and we like to have it all like type A, and just, you know, like God has totally stripped me of that, you know, and that's right where he's like, that's right where I want her, right where I want her, just trusting me. Because with everything that you are, it's like a tightrope. You have to just stay with the very close and intimacy with the Holy Spirit to hear his voice. And as you do, he's gonna unfold the path of life. Psalm 16, he says, if you obey me and you say yes, before you is the path of life. As long as you stay with him, you stay in his word, you stay in his truth, you stay listening to his voice, he's not gonna let you go off. You have the Holy Spirit. He's going to help you. He's going to remind you of what he's told you previously. That's John 14. He's going to remind you of all the things that he's already spoken to you. The revelation that you have, he'll wake it up inside of you when you need it, when you're saying yes and when you're stepping out. And you continue on the path of life. Life, life. It's always life. When you say yes to Jesus, he's taking you to greater life, greater freedom, greater looking like him in his in your life. Woo, I'm excited. I'm preaching to myself. Praise the Lord. So let's be bold, church. Let's be courageous. Let's say yes to him. Yes to being his perfect partner. Let's go. Let's go. And together we can go in 2024. It's going to be an awesome year. I'm excited. Yes. Praise God. All right. We have the victory. We have the victory. 1 John 5:4. I'll close with this. It says in NLT, 1 John 5:4, for every child of God defeats this evil world, and we achieve this victory through our faith. Other versions say you overcome the world through our faith. It is world overcoming faith that we have on the inside of us. Our faith is powerful. It allows us to overcome in victory. Amen. By that faith, we can defeat the evil world around us. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. The serpents and the scorpions and whatever else is creeping around there. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, we thank you, Father. You are so good. We love you and we bless you. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that you have called each one of us into partnership with you. You love us so much. Your stamp of approval is on each one. You have placed your identity in us as children of God, that we cry out, Abba, Father. And so, God, it is our desire to please you with our faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please you. We want to say yes to you, Father. We want to hear your voice. We want to know what you're calling us to. What's that next step that you're calling us to? And when we hear that, Father, we want to boldly be able to say yes. We trust you, even if we don't understand it all, even if it doesn't make sense, or it looks challenging, or we feel unqualified, we say yes, we trust you. Your plans are good for us. You have a hope and a future for us. So we trust you, God, and we use our faith to say yes and to please you. Thank you, God, that you've given us authority. You've equipped us. We have We have protection against the enemy because we can say no. We can use our authority to say no against the evil schemes of the defeated one, of Satan. Thank you, Jesus, because your power is greater. Your victory overcoming dunamis power lives on the inside of us. So I just pray revelation over each heart and everyone hearing my voice that we can rise up and we can say yes to partnering with you. We want to be a blessing, not only receive blessing for our lives, we want to not be selfish and be a blessing to the world around us that is lost and hurting. Let us trust you, God, and let us say, yes, we're in. I'm all in. Thank you, Lord. I ask your blessings on each one in Jesus' name and those that are listening on social media. Thank you, Lord, for blessing each of us to be a blessing for others. There's so many that need to hear about you. There's so many that are sick. There's so many that are without hope and lost. Father, speak so we can hear and we say, yes, we trust you. In the mighty name of Jesus. Everyone said,
amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Are you encouraged? Are you pumped up?
Yes.
Go out there and
do it.
Yes. Just do it. Remember Yoda and what he said. Just do it. Be the light. Be the salt and the light. Praise the Lord.
Thanks for listening to this episode of My Father's House podcast. We hope you'll subscribe to hear our latest updates. My Father's House is a non-denominational Christian church located at 5712 Bass Road in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We invite you to visit us by checking schedule information at mfhfw.org. At our website, you can also support the work of My Father's House with your tax-deductible donation. We pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers.